Sex education in the United States is the subject of new polls from NPR, the Kaiser Family Foundation, and Harvard's Kennedy School of Government. One poll finds that only 15% of Americans believe that sex education in the school should be about abstinence only. That is, no talk about how to obtain and use condoms or other contraception. Yet a parallel poll of public middle school and high school principals shows that abstinence only is what is taught in 30% of the schools that teach sex education. Federal funds now go to abstinence-only programs. President Bush would like to see more. NPR's Wade Goodwin reports that starting in the late 1980s, abstinence education has meant political success for social conservatives and vice versa.
From its very beginning back in the 1900s, there has been this central dilemma about teaching sex education in America's public schools. What if, instead of discouraging the children, it gives them ideas instead?
We have this romantic vision of the child and of childhood that sees children as pure and innocent and very vulnerable to corruption by any form of talk about sexuality.
Janice Irvine is the author of the book Talk About Sex, The Battles Over Sex Education in the United States. Irvine says that throughout our history, our attitudes about sex education have always been connected to how we see children. But the idea of public school sex education gained acceptance surprisingly quickly. By 1930, almost half of all public schools already had it. These days, 90% of public middle schools or high schools teach some form of sex education. That's according to our parallel poll of principals. But for the last 30 years, the real battle has been over what should be taught. As sex education got more sophisticated, opposition to it got better organized. In addition to evangelicals who found sex education morally degrading, the issue also attracted moderates who were concerned about their children having sex. Irvine says in the 70s and 80s, sex education opponents used what she calls depravity narratives to help build their movement.
One depravity narrative that spread all through the country was a story about a sex education teacher who taught anatomy by taking her clothes off in front of the classroom. Another one was that a sex education teacher had intercourse in front of her classroom. A version of that was that a sex education teacher had been raped at the end of the sex education course, with her students saying, well, isn't this what she taught us all semester? These are, of course, stories that are fictional, but they're very, very hard to refute.
Throughout the country, but especially in the South, Midwest, and West, the battle over sex education joined the battle over abortion. During this time, Susan Weddington was a conservative organizer who worked closely in Texas with the emerging Christian right.
You couldn't go from one meeting to another meeting fast enough. People wanted information. It was a real easy issue for a parent to take and go to their own group of parents. You didn't need professionals going in and you know, conducting meetings. And that just went on all over the state.
Social conservatives had discovered a golden issue to build their base. In the mid-80s, Texas had just passed its first comprehensive sex education bill, providing for wide-ranging sex education in public schools. That legislation became the Christian right's rallying cry. By the time the legislature reconvened for its session in 1987, they'd already gotten a snootful. As the bill abolishing comprehensive sex education came to the floor, Weddington says social conservatives packed the chamber, and the chant of vote, vote, vote echoed off the walls.
It wasn't the people chanting, it was the legislators chanting it. They wanted the vote over. They were tired of hearing about it. That was such an easy issue. There'd be a hearing, and it was no problem getting 500 or more people to show up.
Comprehensive sex education advocates were caught by surprise. It wasn't just name-calling that fueled social conservatives. They flat-out organized their opposition. Around the country, they elected their candidates to school boards, and in states like Texas, they took control of the Republican Party while they were at it. In fact, Susan Weddington went on to become chairman of the Texas Republican Party. She says the fight over sex education was a political learning tool.
And so it was after that, well, you know, that people started going, oh, this is how you can mobilize people to influence political parties and influence policy.
And as for the name-calling, labeling sex educators perverts and their curricular pornography, Weddington doesn't make any apologies.
I think in the early years, some of those terms were descriptive labels that were applied toward, promoters of comprehensive sex education. And clearly a majority of Texans seemed to agree with those labels because, they rallied to the cause. They didn't reject it.
Initially, social conservatives used these tactics to fight against sex education altogether, but they were swimming against the flow of popular opinion. Most Americans favor some form of public school sex education. Our poll shows only 7% of Americans think sex education shouldn't be taught. So, social conservatives changed their strategy. Instead of fighting sex education, they created their own, abstinence. And over the last 15 years, abstinence has carved out a strong beachhead for itself. There's more than $100 million of federal money going to abstinence programs, and President Bush wants more. Leslie Unruh, who runs the Abstinence Clearinghouse out of South Dakota, says everybody wants in.
Now, the word abstinence is popular, and especially because of the federally funded money. So now you see people who are called sex educators coming in trying to get the federal money, calling themselves that they do sex education and abstinence education. And see, we feel that's a mixed message.
Unruh represents an important wing of the abstinence movement, one that equates abstinence with purity. Others inside the movement believe that abstinence merely means not having intimate sexual contact. That allows some discussion of condoms and contraception, if only to show how they fail. But for Unruh and others like her, abstinence is a moral imperative, and talking in schools about anything other than abstinence goes too far.
It's invading, it's degrading, and it harms a lot of kids.
That's contrary to public opinion. Our poll shows that large majorities of Americans believe sex ed should be taught in schools and that it should teach everything from how to put on a condom to how to get tested for sexually transmitted diseases. Despite the fact that social conservatives haven't convinced the public that abstinence only is the way to go in sex ed, they believe they've largely won the political battle. 30% of public middle schools and high schools that teach sex ed now teach abstinence only, and most of the rest advocate abstinence even if they also teach about contraception. Susan Weddington believes conservatives have comprehensive sex education advocates on the run.
Yes, I believe the sex education was an early battle, and I think it is by and large won. I mean, you use vigilance to keep watching it and make sure no one sneaks in and brings a new theory in, but that one I think is pretty well settled.
If social conservatives feel they've won the day on sex education, there are important new battles still to fight, gay marriage, for example. If gay rights advocates wish to know just how formidable their opponents are, they should seek counsel from supporters of comprehensive sex education. Wade Goodwin, NPR News, Dallas.
The complete results, I beg your pardon, the complete results of the NPR Kaiser Kennedy School poll on sex education are on our website at npr.org.